Entre en otros padres, mientras tanto, entre dos estériles con dados tremendos. El dibujo moverte, santa, buen padre, en ver, y me han dado tres control, el lugar al que se coloque esto, al ver, cuidado tu voz. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Clear from the verse that self-control is a very important virtue in our lives. Actually, it is like the guard to our lives. Because as Proverbs says, if a man is without self-control, man lacks self-control, is like a city broken in. And this city left without hope. There is no protection for the city. And because the city without hope, the thief can break into the city and steal everything in the city. So self-control is like the wall. This self-control protects us from the thief, who are the thief, the devil, and all the foolish. So self-control protects us from the thief, from the devil, and all the soldiers to break into our city, to break into our soul, to break into our spirit, and destroy everything. That's why tonight I'd like to speak with you about self-control. Self-control, as I said, is an important virtue for everybody. For the older and for the young, for the old and the young, for men and women, for monk and the married. If you read the book, the letter of St. Paul to Peter, St. Paul repeated several times, healthy should instruct the bishop to have self-control. So the bishop should have self-control. And then he told him also instruct the other men to have self-control. And instruct the older women to have self-control. And instruct the youth and the young children to have self-control. It was repeated about 6 times in the letter of St. Paul to Tito, how every age, every gender should have self-control. So, let us define first self-control. What is self-control? What is self-control? If you want to give definition of self-control, what is self-control? Self-control is dominant over all the desires. Self-control is dominant over all the desires. Know that we are made of two components, flesh and spirit. And flesh is driven by its desire. And as I said, there is a war between flesh and spirit. So self-control means we subject our flesh with all its desires to the leadership of our spirit. Therefore, should have dominance over his desires. And thus self-control differentiates us, the human being, from the animal. Because animals are controlled by their desires. Animals don't have any dominance over their desires. Don't have any control over their desires. If they are hungry, they are hungry. And they will eat. They cannot control their desires. So actually, if a person lacks self-control and is controlled by his desire, he's similar to the animal. Because he gives the leadership to the desire, not to the spirit. And of course, we have two types of desires. Either physical desire or psychological desire. Physical desire, like hunger, food, sex, these are physical desires. And psychological desire, like for example, love of sin or love of prayer, these are psychological desires. So a person, a godly person, should have control and dominance over all his desires, whether these desires are physical or psychological. What is the motive for self-control? What motivates us to develop self-control? Because self-control is not something easy. To control your desire is not something easy. So we should have a very big motive in order to be able to control our desires. And of course, the motive for self-control is the love of God. If we really love God from all our heart, we will be motivated to sacrifice anything for God, even the desire to live, because it's a desire. And anybody, if he knows that he's going to die soon, becomes troubled. Any person loves to live, wants to live, has the desire to live. But if we love God, even this desire, the desire of life, we can sacrifice for God. Like the martyrs. The martyrs had dominance over this desire, the desire of love. So the desire to live. Why? Because of their great love for Christ, the King. So the motive for self-control is love to Christ, love of God. The desire to live a luxurious life. This desire also can be controlled by love of God. As you hear in the fraction of the Holy Great Fast, we say fasting and prayer are those which the righteous pursued. And they live in the mountain, in the halls of earth, in desert. Why? Because of their great love for Christ the King. So their great love to Christ the King motivated them to dominate over the desire to live a luxurious life. And they chose to live in desert, mountains, caves, holes of the earth, a very poor life. Why? Because of their great love for Christ the King. So love is the greatest motivation for self-control. And unless we have this love in our heart, we cannot develop self-control. Many parents, for example, say to their children, no, you shouldn't allow this desire to overcome you. You should have dominance over this desire. You should have self-control. But they didn't teach them how to love God. They didn't invite them to experience the love of Christ in their life and to enter into a personal relationship with God. That's why they cannot overcome these desires. But if we plant in our children the love of God and we invite them to love Christ and to experience the love of Christ in their heart, and to enter into a personal relationship with Christ, then it will be very easy for them to sacrifice and to control any desire for the great love of Christ the King. St. Paul in his letter to Philippians said, and what was gained for me, I consider rubbish. Why? For the sake of Christ, for whom I lost everything and I consider it rubbish. He didn't care about what he lost, because he gained what? He gained Christ. So love of God is the greatest motivation for self-control. And let me tell you, St. Peter describes this motivation in a very nice way. And I want you to just focus with me to understand what he was saying. In the letter of St. Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1, St. Peter said what? God has granted to us His precious and very great promise. So God promised us with great promise. And He granted us these precious and great promises. That through these promises, you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion, and become partakers of divine nature. So he says, God has promised us with all these great promises. And these great promises should motivate us to escape from the corruption in the world because of passion, and become partakers in the divine nature. So, خلي بالك support for this reason make every effort to do what? To support your faith with virtue. Support your faith with virtue. Means what? And we believe in God, that's the faith. But this faith needs to be supported. Supported by what? By our work, by our goodness, by our virtue. Because as Saint James says, faith without work is dead. So we need to support our faith by virtue. But how we support the virtue? Virtue is supported by knowledge. Saint Peter continues and says, and support your virtue with knowledge. What does it mean? We need to have the knowledge, the wisdom, to know what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. Because sometimes there's gray area, and we don't know exactly what's right. So we need the knowledge of the scripture. And that's why David the prophet said, your words, your commands are lamps to my feet. The knowledge of the scripture, the knowledge of the word of God will help us to have virtues in our life. So faith is supported by what? By virtue. And virtue is supported by what? By knowledge. But I read the Bible, I read the Word of God, and I know what I should do. But sometimes I cannot do it. So the knowledge has to be supported. Knowledge supported by what? Peter says, and support your knowledge with self-control. Because through self-control, I will apply the Word of God. I will keep the commandment of God. So self-control with my knowledge gives birth to what? To virtue. So the knowledge of the scripture with self-control together will give birth to virtue. And virtue with the knowledge support my faith. Faith is supported by virtue. And virtue is supported by knowledge. And knowledge is supported by self-control. But what was self-control? St. Peter says, and support your self-control with endurance. Of course, to control yourself and to have dominance over your desires, this needs patience. This needs endurance. And that's why he says, and support your self-control with endurance. If we don't have patience, if we don't have endurance, self-control means nothing. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, he who endures to the end will be saved. So, faith is supported by virtue. And virtue is supported by, and knowledge is supported by, and self-control is supported by endurance. And what about endurance? He said, and support your endurance with godliness. The godly life, love of godliness. Because why I will endure all this suffering for Christ? Why? It is because of the love of God. I want to be a godly person. Like why the student endures the suffering of study? Because love of success. So it is godliness that supports our endurance. Faith is supported by
virtue. And virtue is supported by, and knowledge is supported by self-control. Self-control is supported by, and endurance is supported by godliness. And godliness is supported by brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. What St. Peter means by this? And book of Proverbs says, two are better than one. If one falls, the other will raise him up. So to live a godly life, sometimes we need the fellowship to support us. Let me give you an example. If we are here together, we are praying the midnight prayer together. When we are together in a fellowship, we will support each other and we will enjoy the midnight prayer. But if you go to your room by yourself and try to pray the midnight prayer, you will feel it long and you feel bored. So it is the fellowship. It is the brotherly kindness that will support what? Will support our godly life. Two are better than one. And that's why the fellowship is very important in Christianity. There is a story in the Paradise of the Father about a monk who wanted to go to, he was a beginner, and he wanted to go to live in a cave in the desert, away from the monastery. And his spiritual father told him, you are still young and a beginner in your monastic life, and you cannot do this. But he insisted on his opinion to go and to live in a cave by himself. So his spiritual father told him, okay, before you go, let us pray and fast for 3 days, and then make our decision. So he obeyed and told him, let's do this. So after the 3 days of prayer and fasting, this monk saw in a vision a small flame of fire, and beside the small flame of fire, he saw a very strong pillar of fire between earth and heaven. So he asked the angel, what is this small flame of fire and what is this pillar of fire? So he told him, this pillar of fire is the prayers of the monks of the monastery. They support each other. So each monk, his prayer is like a flame. But when you put all these flames together, it gives this pillar of fire. But your prayer alone is this small flame. So when you go and live by yourself, away from the monastery, your prayer will be just like this small flame of fire. But if you remain in the monastery with your brother, the monk, your prayer will join this pillar, so it will go up to heaven. So he learned the lesson, and he realized that it was very early for him to go and live in complete solitude. So it is the brotherly kindness, the brotherly affection that supports our godliness. So, our faith is supported by, virtue, and faith is supported by, and knowledge supported by, and self-control supported by, endurance, and endurance supported by, and godliness is supported by, and after high brotherly affection or brotherly kindness is supported by what? Supported by love, with our love for God. Because I cannot love my brother if I don't love God. So, again, it is the love of God, as I told you, that motivates self-control. Because if love of God supports the brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness supports godliness, and godliness supports endurance, and endurance supports self-control, then it is the love of God that supports self-control. And self-control supports the knowledge, and knowledge supports the virtue, and virtue supports God. That's what St. Peter explained in his second letter, chapter 1, starting from verse 5. But St. Peter again said, faith is supported by virtue, and virtue is supported by, and knowledge is supported by, and self-control is supported by, and endurance is supported by, and godliness is supported by, brotherly love, and brotherly love is supported by love of God. So love of God is the greatest motivation for self-control. St. Paul also spoke about self-control in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And he compared the believer with the athlete. And he said that the athlete controls himself in everything to win the prize. And in the same way, we should control ourselves in everything. The athlete is doing this for a perishable crown, but we are doing this for a perishable crown. Listen to his words. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. So in our spiritual life, as if we are in a race, and we need to run in order to obtain the prize. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. And I'm sure before, you know before the Olympics, the athletes or those who are participating in Olympics, they train themselves and go through very, very difficult exercises. Why? And they control themselves in everything. Why? In order to win the prize. So then Paul says, they do it to receive a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. Well, I do not run aimlessly. So St. Paul is speaking about himself. In his race, in his spiritual life, he doesn't run aimlessly. No, there is aim, there is target, there is very clear dark target before him. I do not box as one beating the air. He knows the dark, he knows what he's beating. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So basically, St. Paul says here, without self-control, I myself become disqualified. And that's why St. Paul says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest myself I become disqualified. We need to develop self-control, lest we become disqualified. So the last point, how we develop self-control. We understand now its definition. Self-control is dominance over all our desires. And we understand that self-control is motivated by love of God. And we understand also that without self-control, we may become disqualified. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. That's what Book of Proverbs says. So how we develop self-control? How we develop self-control? If you read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23, about the fruit of the Spirit, you will find that self-control is fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is fruit of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul mentions nine things. The last one was self-control. Which means, if I let my flesh be submitted to my spirit, and if I let my spirit to be submitted to the Spirit of God, I will build self-control. Self-control will be the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life if I submit myself to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So, how to develop self-control? Submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. Give the leadership to the Holy Spirit. Completely. Let the Holy Spirit control everything in your life. Before doing any action, before thinking any thought, ask the Holy Spirit to control your life completely. Don't do anything without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. In your prayer, ask the Holy Spirit to come and rule your life. Submit yourself completely by obeying the word of God. By submitting ourselves completely and denying ourselves completely, we will develop self-control. So the first point, how to develop self-control, submit yourself completely to the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit in you. Don't grieve the Spirit of God in you. Let the Holy Spirit control every area in your life. Every area in your life. Sometimes we want the Holy Spirit to control part of our life, not all our life. زي مثلا نقوله ساعة قلبك وساعة الرب. This saying ساعة قلبك وساعة الرب means I want to give part to the Holy Spirit to control it, and ساعة قلبك means I want to give the other part to the desires of my heart. You will never develop self-control in this way. I have to submit myself completely to the Holy Spirit in order to develop self-control. But there are other things that help me to submit myself to the Holy Spirit, to train and to do some exercise. As Sir Paul said, I discipline my body and bring it in subjection. So the first point is submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. Second point, love righteousness. Love godliness. As I told you, love of godliness supports our endurance. And endurance supports self-control. So in order to develop self-control, love the life of godliness. Some people think that the life of godliness is extreme. Look, we are living in the world. We have to enjoy our life. No, that's not right. The real joy in life when you love God. Believe me, those who don't love God and they think they are enjoying their life, they are deceiving themselves. And they are in great sorrow. They are not pleased with their life. Because it is only the love of God that will make us enjoy our life. In the book of Wisdom, chapter 8 and verse 7, Book of Wisdom is part of the so-called Apocrypha. The book that a normal Protestant didn't add it to the Bible, but the Orthodox and the Catholic believe in this book. Believe in this. So in Book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7 says, and if anyone loves righteousness, her labors are virtuous, for she teaches self-control and truth. So if I love righteousness, love of righteousness will work in me virtue. Why? Because love of righteousness teach self-control, prudence, justice, and courage. And nothing in life is more profitable for men than this. This is the wisdom. Nothing in life is more profitable to men than this, than love, than self-control, prudence, justice, and courage. If we want to live a godly life, and if we love to live a godly life, we will have self-control over the bad desires. As I told you, why the student study very hard and go through the suffering of study? Why? Because love of success. In the same way, love of righteousness, love of study will help us to develop self-control. If our first point, how to develop self-control, submit yourself to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Second point, love God and love righteousness. Third point, how to develop self-control, spiritual friendship, صدقات الروحية, spiritual encouragement, التشجيع الروحي. زي ما قلت لكم brotherly kindness support one godliness. احنا قلنا كده brotherly affection support godliness and godliness support endurance and endurance support self-control. So love of righteousness is supported by brotherly love. So when we have spiritual friendship, when I have a spiritual friend that encourages me and supports me when I fall away, this will help me to develop self-control. So surround yourself with godly friends. And I encourage you, for I'm speaking now to be married, to have your spouse to be your spiritual friend that supports you in your spiritual life. So if any one of you starts to fall away or to get weak, the other person will encourage him and support him. So to help each other to support to grow spiritually. And for the unmarried, I encourage you to have a spiritual friend. A spiritual friend, a godly friend. And both of you agree about, for example, a meeting every week to meet together and to pray together in this meeting, to read the Bible together, and then to start to support and to encourage each other spiritually. We experienced it, and it was very, very successful when every youth have a spiritual and a godly friend that supports him in his life. And St. Paul spoke about this in Galatians chapter 6. And I believe Galatians 5 is about the fruit of the Spirit. فقال الايه؟ In Galatians 5:22 قال but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires than self-control. When I crucify my passions and my desires, means I have dominance over my passions and desires than self-control. And he said, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy of one another. What if one of us starts to lose self-control and to be overtaken in success? St. Paul continues and says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, which means if a man starts to lack self-control, if a man is not crucifying his passion and his desire, what we should do? St. Paul says, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. This spiritual bridge, it is through this support, it is through this love, you can restore him to his state for another time. To help him to develop self-control once again. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, but look to yourself, lest you too be tempted. While doing this, look to yourself, lest you too be tempted. So how to develop self-control? By submitting myself to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, by loving righteousness and goodness, and also by spiritual friendship. And number four, by setting a clear goal before me. As St. Paul said, I don't run aimlessly. If I'm in a race, think about it, if I'm in a race and I'm running, but I lose the target, because I get distracted. So my focus is not on the target, on the goal. What will happen to me? I will deviate from the race and I will lose the prize. And that's why I have to have a clear goal in front of me. And to meditate on this goal day and night, to keep this goal in my mind and in my heart day and night. And what is the goal for a Christian? It is eternal life, to be with Christ. And that's why St. Paul said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, that's the goal. There is no other meaning for life other than Christ. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is the goal. Do we have our goal clearly set before us? or not. I should have a clear goal, eternal life, to be with God. So how to develop self-control? Submit yourself to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Love righteousness and godliness. Set a clear goal before you and spiritual friendship. Number five, and this is the last point. Spiritual exercise. As St. Paul said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. You need to discipline your body and bring it into subjection. So, likewise, what are the spiritual exercises that help us to develop self-control? Number one, fast. And that's why I'm speaking today about self-control. Because fasting is a very beneficial exercise to develop self-control. It's a very powerful tool to develop self-control. The ability to say no to the desire of food, this will help you to develop self-control. And if you are able to say no to the desire of food, you will be able to say no to the desire of sex. And that's why the church, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and also the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, encouraged us to fast. Some people complain why we have about 8 months fasting in the church. Why? My answer to this is because we need to learn how to have self-control. Because a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without water. And as much as we need to develop self-control, as much as we need to fast. Because fasting is a very helpful tool to develop self-control. And that's why, think about why we fast. For all our benefit. If we don't fast, God will not lose anything. We will lose, but we will not lose anything. And we don't fast because it is a law and you have to fast. No. We fast because we need to fast. We need to fast to develop self-control. And when we fast, in order for this fast to be effective, we need to fast in the right way and in the proper way. Because if while you are fasting, we are lacking self-control, then the fast and then nothing will not help us anymore. So when we fast, we need to learn how to control ourselves. We need to abstain for some time from eating and drinking. Maybe at least to 12 noon. At least. And I don't see any problem that you abstain completely from eating and drinking until 12. And then you need to control both the quantity and the quality of the food you are eating. Because by controlling these three dimensions, the quantity of food and the quality of food, and also by abstaining until 12 noon, I will develop self-control because that is how I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. And there is no excuse not to fast. Because all of us need self-control. Each one of us needs self-control. So if we need self-control, then we need to fast. That's why there is no excuse not to fast. Of course, the sick people, yes, they have permission not to fast. If they are really sick, and we need to eat. But other than this, think about it, there is no acceptable excuse. Not the fact. Some people don't fast because it is more convenient for them not to fast. So they are after convenience, not after what is beneficial to them. Until, let me tell you, it is not all the time what's convenient is what's beneficial. I'm sure it is not convenient to go to work every day and to work up early and to drive. So it's convenient more to stay at home. But we don't do this. We have to wake up early and to go to work. Although it is not convenient. So again, we should do what's beneficial, what we need, not what's convenient. If we need to fast, then we have to. Those who don't fast, because they don't want to develop self-control, because they are overtaken by the desire of food, or overtaken by the desire of convenience. They want what's convenient. And these desires have to be controlled. Because again, if you allow any desire to control you, you will be like a city broken into and left without walls. So fasting is a very important tool. And also, St. Paul spoke about another tool for the married people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, says, verse 5, do not refuse one another. He is speaking here about the marital relationship between husband and wife. He said, do not refuse one another, except perhaps by agreement for a season, that you may devote yourself to prayer and fast. But then, come together again. Let Satan tempt you through lack of self-control. Let Satan tempt you through lack of self-control. So, St. Paul also encouraging the married people to stay away from each other, not to have marital relationship, but he made two conditions, by agreement and for time, for some time. In verse 5, by agreement for a season. By agreement for a season. Why? In order to devote yourself to prayer and fast. And he said, if you don't do this, Satan will tempt you. Why Satan will tempt you? Because lack of self-control. Let Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And why Satan will tempt us? Because as I told you in the beginning, self-control is like a wall protecting your city. If you don't have this wall, Satan will break into it. It's very easy. There is no protection. There is no guard. There is no wall. Satan will just get in. Let Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So again, husbands and wives should practice, should agree to abstain from the marital relationship for a season in order to devote themselves for prayer and fasting. Other spiritual exercise in self-control is prostration. Prostration in Hilma Taniyar, kneeling down, worship. Again, it is how to discipline your body and bring it in from this. And unfortunately, prostrations disappeared from our worship. Although every morning we say in the prayer of triumph, come let us kneel to Christ our God. Do we kneel down and do worship? And again, every one of you, of course, if you don't have any back problems, you can make at least 10 prostrations every day. It wouldn't hurt you, it wouldn't affect you. But it will help you to develop self-control. It's part of, I discipline my flesh and bring it into subjection. And I want every one of us to start doing it. If you don't have any back problems, start to receive the blessings of prostration and kneel down before God. And while you are kneeling down, say, God has mercy on me, I am the sinner. And you will feel the benefit of these prostrations in your life. You will feel that how you are giving the leadership to the Spirit and you are submitting your body to the leadership of the Spirit. Another spiritual training, how we stand during the time of prayer. In the midnight prayer, we say, teach us how to stand before you and offer to you the proper doxology. علمنا كيف أن نقف أمام فخر الصلاة. Teach us how to stand before you at the time of prayer. How to stand before God in reverence. The deacon says different times. Stand up in the fear of God. So how to stand in reverence and in the fear of God. Another exercise, serving others. By choosing to serve others, like the Lord when He washed the feet of the disciples, you are disciplining your flesh. And also, you are overcoming the desire of love of praise, mahabbat al-mal'ih, by becoming a servant. As the Lord said, He wants to become servant, let Him be the last and the servant of all. So these are some spiritual exercises. And you may discuss with your spiritual father and confession to give you some other exercises that are beneficial for you, especially to develop self-control. But these are just general exercises, fasting, abstaining from marital relationship by agreement and for reasons, prostration, the posture of the body during prayer and serving others. So these are, in general, 5 points how to develop self-control. Through submitting myself to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, love, righteousness and godliness, through spiritual friendship and encouragement, through setting a very clear goal before me, eternal life, to live with Christ and by the sin and by spiritual exercise. Again, I'll conclude by reminding you with Proverbs 25, verse 28. And I want to, this is a small verse, all of you can memorize it. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Proverbs 25, verse 28. And glory be to God. Amen.